Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Israel with another edition of the Members of a Better World Blog Talk Radio program. I'm going to play a song to give everyone a chance to call in, and then we're going to get right to our host, Prince Asiel Ben Israel. One moment, please.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need delay. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and tears here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs.
Line is open.
Welcome to all of the listening audience of A Better World. We are not only happy today to be broadcasting because we see the prophetic unfoldment of the times that our people are living in. And what comes to mind for me is the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, where we are being told those things that bring about blessings and those things that bring about curses. I've got Prince El Ram on the line. And Prince, I want you to say hello to the listening audience And I want you also to go to the scriptures in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy so that we can read some of the things that we're going to be touching on. And we've got in the studio with us Dr. Sidhar Weber, who is one of those distinguished scholars as well as historian, talent, and spiritual men that have been placed in the midst of our people for this time to give us direction. His specialty is about four or five critical things, one of them being the art and the effect of culture as it relates to his PhD is also in culture. So I want to have him give an introduction as we talk about what is taking place in Missouri, in Ferguson, and across America where black men are now under attack. We saw the death in New York for standing on the corner selling cigarettes. We saw the death out in California. And now we've seen the death of an 18-year-old down in Ferguson, Missouri. So, Dr. Weber, without further ado, I'd like for you to introduce yourself to the listening audience of Better World, which is an internet blog radio program that was started and founded by the Yehuda Nation, by Princess Yaina. She is one of those visionary women who, by the Spirit of God, was called out of the church to continue being elevated to be a voice in the wilderness of North America for such a time as this. Princess Yaina, to me, is one of those anchors and cornerstones for the rebuilding of the new woman, but more than that, the new man and the new family. So this is Dr. C. Sidhar Weber. Dr. Weber.
Thank you, dear beloved Brother Prince, and your audience. I'm most grateful to be here. I'm a student of humanity and a servant of God, and I too was called out of the church, of the four walls of the church, but into the streets of the world to create by God a new world. A new Jerusalem, the church under Jesus Christ was not in a building, but it was in the public, in the street. And wherever God is, I've been allowed to put the Holy Spirit there, allowed through culture. America has gone through a cultural degradation, and black people who were spiritual icons of soul and icons of humanity have been cursed by this satanic society to degrade themselves, to sell themselves, and being bought out by the override major dominance of the cultural lords, if you may. But we still have a God, and we still have the ability, whether it be music, art, dance, and through the creativity, we communicate with our Creator. And we can and have to take this transformation, this life of creativity, of the Creator. We have to take this to the street, to the home, and the airwaves. America is a great country. It is definitely doors open for us to communicate our art, our spirit and our soul, and to create sacred space. Wherever we are, the air we breathe as a sacred people becomes air that transforms the environment, because the air that we eat is represents the food that we eat, and the food that we eat is transformed in our bodies that is still a spiritual embodiment of the Holy Spirit within us. And so what's that Spirit within us takes in the air, that air goes back out and transforms the molecule in the environment. The environment has been transformed through the pollution and the water and from the sky and all kinds of satanic devices that has transformed the airwaves from a godly airwave, even the words and the things that we hear in our ears, the things that come back out of our mouth, is the language through the decadent culture that we hear. So part of my mission is to bring the culture of humanity, the culture of the man, back into sanity, into the divine alignment with God, Yah, our Creator.
So I just wanted that introduction of first guest, won't be with our program, but I wanted his input in the beginning. Prince El Ram, are you ready to read the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy that sort of frames what is taking place in America amongst God's people?
I'm prepared, Prince. And peace and blessings to everyone within my listening voice.
Thank you so much. Prince El Ram, I wanted you to open up with scripture because it frames the reality that our people are living in. When we're talking about a better world, we got to know that the creation that is upon us right now, if you recall, the Mayans predicted that in 2012, they had predicted that the earth and the world that we presently live in would go through a transformation. When that spirit hit me, I flew to the Holy Land, and I witnessed the migration of the birds coming out of Europe, flying back into Africa, and what a sight it was. Sitting in the city of Abraham, Beersheba, in Israel, in the land of Judea, I witnessed the transformation of the change of a world. I saw the animals, particularly the birds, that Noah had called in to begin to save them for a new world. Dr. Weber mentioned the air, the polluted air, and the demonic way in which the current rulers of this world has put human life in jeopardy with its toxic inventions of what they call better living from the material world. We now see that cigarette smoke kill 500,000 people a year. Of 1,000 people die a day in America from heart attack and from stroke. More than every minute of the day, children die in Africa from malaria. And if that's not enough, the recent toxic environment in Africa has created Ebola. And so now we are witnessing the death of the world. Many may remember the Time magazine had a cover story with the globe with a rag around its head and the late great planet Earth is sick. And so we come to talk about how to heal the sin-laden world that have been under the dominion of the Gentiles, and we are now in the process of giving healthy solutions to this sick and dying world. Dr. Weber is here to begin to touch on some of those things. But before we touch on it, I wanted El Ram from a prophetic point of view, so that the people don't think that this is just something that took place in the last 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, but more than 2,000, it was predicted that the children of Israel would go into a land that is not theirs and serve them, and they would be afflicted for 400 years. But afterwards, they would come out with great substance and go back to the land of their fathers. And so the Yehuda nation and those men and women who are consciously looking for a direction to restore the late, great planet Earth back to its healthy way of living, because it's a living organism. So start with the reading at the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 15th verse.
Those things that bring a curse.
These are some of the things that bring about curse on the people and the land. Read.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field.
Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Now, we just witnessed in the last week or so the curses upon God's people in the city of Los Angeles, in the city of New York, and in the field of Ferguson, Missouri. Read on.
Cursed shall be thy basket, and cursed shall be thy kneading trough.
He was in a grocery store, and so all of the poison food that he and those in the community were buying, they now put a video out there that he went in there and took some cigars. Now, we already know that smoking brings about death. We had no idea that the taking of some cigars would cost this 18-year-old his life. But they don't understand the curses that are on the land. Read on.
Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy cows and the flocks of thy sheep.
All of these curses, the food now, all of these things are being shown to be toxic and poison. Go ahead.
Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out.
Now we are witnessing over the last 7-8 days that when darkness comes, the evil comes out that's lurking in the communities of our people. And so they're being shot, killed, murdered, jailed. For when darkness comes, out comes the demons to make sure that havoc is wreaked upon the people. Read on.
The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke.
Now,
and all,
just so that it be clear, we're not reading out of New Bible. We're reading out of a book that's been around since the times of the prophets of God, recorded what would happen in the future for the people on the planet if they did not turn away from their wicked, evil ways. So it said, read that again.
The Lord shall send upon thee cursing.
The Creator sent curses upon the people. Not the government, not men. A behavior that the people of the planet Earth have engaged in brought about the condition. Read.
The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thy hand to.
Everything the people of God would set their hand to, it wouldn't work. Read on.
Until all be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me.
Because we turned away from the laws, the guidelines, the principles of righteousness and truth, all of these things that come upon us. So I wanted that to be the beginning. And I'm going to ask Dr. Weber if he has any recommendations based on his study of culture and his recommendations as what the people need to do to begin to heal themselves, to heal our community, and to heal what we need to do for our future. Dr. Weber.
We need a great program. We need to acknowledge God in all our ways, in all our actions, in our diet. Just last week, a prominent heart surgeon acknowledged that as a heart surgeon and heart physician, that animal diet would increase his risk of heart disease and stroke. And he recommended a plant-based diet. America, and then also last week, maybe just this week, this is Tuesday now, over the weekend, there was another recall of millions of pounds of beef of diseased cattle, whereby they had cut off cow heads so that the poison and the cancer in the cow wouldn't show up on the inspectors, and they did it while the inspectors were there. And so a better humane diet would help the temperament and the values of the people. When you stop killing unnecessarily for your food, you go through a mental change. The aggression and the obesity leave. Once we start eating more fresh vegetables, summertime, and in the summertime, fresh fruits and vegetables are more available, a stronger diet. America leans upon blood meat, especially during the barbecue and such as that. So, and biblically and human, we shouldn't be drinking blood, eating blood, killing unnecessarily for our food. We need a more humane diet because it's hard to kill without developing, it's difficult, without developing a kill mentality. The culture of America, of our community, has the dominant culture. It's the culture that's gone awry, and the culture has become insane. We're listening to children's music for babies and fools that deals with a lot of profanity, rhymes that don't say nothing, and this is going into our bodies, into the mind, into our subconsciousness. So we need a culture of art. That's why the arts were taken out of the school of a creative, artistic people. We are very spiritual, musical, creative, dance, rhythmic people. And yet the things that are most vital to us, to express ourselves, are taken away from us as the black people that create spiritual energy. So we need to dance, to sing, and be happy. And be happy and get rid of the madness through sing, dance, and other movements, and to become more actively participants in statements that say, get rid of the nonsense, whether it's whoever these artists are, Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, Justin Bieber, and on and on. And we need to demand, our picket should be to demand a more humanistic culture, a more humanistic expression, a more humanistic diet. The mental illness has gone completely through the roof. So we counter that with closing down mental institutions, getting rid of mental treatment, and closing more schools, especially in a capital city such as Chicago. What has happened to all of these children? 54 schools have been closed down, yet we don't have enough children to fill the remaining schools. Where are the people? They didn't move to the suburbs. Have they been exterminated? Have they been eradicated off the planet Earth for their blood, for their DNA, for their human growth hormone? Where are the people? Where are the children? Are they all incarcerated? How insane can we be to incarcerate for profit? So to get rid of that, and then we had a governor that let out a lot of unfairly incarcerated people, and then they put him in jail, in prison. So the whole culture needs a reassessment, a reevaluation, of turning back to the sacredness of the commandments and the tenets of the Creator. And we need to love ye one another as God has loved us. We need movies that depict not only the violence of sex and violence, but movies that depict fairness, love, justice, and a greater work ethic for you to build it up of the kingdom of earth and stop the deterioration of man and the planet. The planet has evidently been on a roll of deterioration, and we are still too complacent and hazard-minded to react as humans to save the planet and to save the human life. So if we disregard human life, God has an answer. God works, and only those who respect nature and humanity will be saved. And those who do not turn away from the wickedness of the destruction of earth and humanity will be washed away in the oncoming flood that is now coming with fire and brimstone through the airwaves. And the air has become a fireball itself through the acidness and the lack of clarity and smoothness. A black cloud is coming over the world, whereby we will not be able to breathe. And we're at the first third of this air pollution that has become so filled with toxic pollution that asthma and respiratory diseases for the land and its living forms of human life are now at an all-time level of suffering. And only those who have the breath of the living God. When God first came and breathed the breath, the man became a living being. Only those who are able to receive that breath will survive the oncoming hammer that God is delivering upon the planet Earth right now.
Thank you, Doc. As many of the listening audience know, that Prince L. Ram is a health practitioner as well as a health New World physician. Prince, do you have any comments or questions for Dr. Weber on the comments and statements that he's made, or to elucidate on them and expand it?
Well, again, greetings, peace, and blessings to everyone in the listening audience and to the guest, Dr. Weber. And I appreciate what you said, not only what you said, but how you said it. I feel the humility in what you said, and it touched me, and I hope others who are hearing you are touched as well, not only about what you're saying, but how you're saying it, because it's important how we approach things. As Prince Asiel is famous for saying, the appropriate response, that's always important, how you respond to things, not just responding, but how you respond, because spirits are involved, people are involved, lives are involved, health is involved, consequences are involved with everything that we do. And I certainly appreciate brother coming on and healing. I feel the healing myself, and I appreciate you for that. To say that, the listening audience, I'm sure, we have a very astute listening audience, so we don't want to be preaching to the choir in the sense that I would say that all is one. In Western society, they dissect things or separate things. Even when things don't exist naturally, they create them. Okay, so they create divisions or they create segments or they separate things by way of or by virtue of the scientific method. And as long as we ascribe to that way of thought, we too will be separated, dissected, cut away. Things will be kept out of the natural order of one that God has created. We evolve from one single fertilized cell, one cell, and through creative necessity, everything else we need to emerge into this reality as a person is created. But it's all back to one. It says God is one, all right? So as long as we keep that concept and that approach and to follow the laws and instructions that were given us, not only as Israelites, but given to us as people to live according to the directions of our Creator, then we'll be fine and we can heal ourselves and we can come back together. We can solve our problems. And these will be the things of the past and not our present and our continuous future, because the things that we're experiencing now, if somebody said it 50 years ago, it's applicable today. If they said in terms of how we were treated 100 years ago, it's the same way today. 200 years ago, it's the same way today. So not very much has changed. And I would have to say that have we changed sufficiently to be able to, or I'm asking, have we changed sufficiently to be able to receive God's blessing?
The answer is every day on and in the news, no. That's why the curses, that's why I had you read the curse. So pick it up again and read a few more of the curses that would come upon the people for not adhering to God's way.
The Lord shall make the pestilence clean unto thee until it has consumed thee from off the land to which thou goest to possess. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with blight and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be bronze, and the earth that is under thy feet shall be like iron.
So I'm saying that that means that your prayers are not getting through. Read that again. The heaven above thee will be what?
And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be bronze.
And
the earth shall be iron, like iron under thy feet.
So there's no sound that can get through those two metals for the human ear to hear. You got to have a spiritual ear to be in touch now with the Creator. If you're not in prayer, meditation, there's no way to get your message through. Read on.
The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth.
Now we know that the African has been scattered to every country on the planet Earth, and his condition is the same wherever you go and find him. Even though this is supposed to be the wealthiest nation on the planet, the African in America at 18 years old can be shot dead in broad daylight with at least 8 bullet wounds in his body for simply walking on the street. And because of that, he was murdered, not in the dark of night, but at the heat of the day. We've got to understand that it's not a civil rights issue. It's not an economic issue. It is a God issue that's causing things to fall upon the people that's walking the earth. Pick it up again.
And thy carcass shall be food unto all the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall drive them away.
Doc just mentioned that it's madness to talk about you make profit off of incarcerating human beings. There are 2 million black men and women incarcerated in America today, and this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Oh, yeah? And I'm saying it costs minimum $20,000 to $25,000 a year that they pay to incarcerate a human being. Now multiply that by millions of dollars and millions of people. And even after you out, there's a system that keeps you on the rolls anyway. So we're crying out today, not about the tragedy that has happened to black men. We're talking about the tragedy that has happened to this world that was created for joy, beauty, and happiness. A few more curses.
The Lord will smite thee with the boil of Egypt, and with the tumors, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed.
This cannot be healed with medicine. This cannot be healed with ointment. The condition cannot be healed because the prayers are not getting through. Your heaven is brass and your earth is steel. We got to hear spiritual things. That's why you were saying that you understand the humility that Dr. Weber was speaking to about the condition. He's a physician to heal the sin sick soul. So, Doc, you heard some of the curses. What are some of the diagnoses after you got diagnosed? What are the prescriptions that you would recommend that the people listening begin to do to begin to heal their souls?
Love you one another. In all our ways, acknowledge God. In all our ways, let express God. Understand that we need a spiritual healer. Understanding that the earth is void of spiritual uplift. And as we uplift ourselves spiritually, as we begin to transform ourselves spiritually, and believe it is doing it. The planet is suffering. The people are suffering because the people, we, have turned our backs on God. We have, in the midst through earth empoweredness of spiritual genocide. God is calling for the resurrection of the Holy Spirit back to his people. As the original man that God breathed the breath of the Holy Spirit into, that spirit would not leave us. We have left God. Satan has shown us all the things of this world through the American eyesight, through the evil eyesight, through the selfish vision that says me, 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 me right now. But God is forever and ever and ever. And as simple as that is, as we are to be resurrected, we are to resurrect the planet. We are to resurrect the earth. We are to resurrect the Holy Spirit, thereby resurrecting humanity. Prayers get through. The Holy Spirit is unlimited. And God still acknowledges us when he makes it rain, when he makes the sunshine. When we look up to God, he sees us and smiles and sends out his holy blessing and rays of sun. As we still think telepathically with love about each other, with smiles and dances and movement of joy, God still acknowledges that, and the Holy Spirit still acknowledges. We have to develop a diet of humanity. We have to develop expressions of love, peace, and humility towards one another, towards in every way that we do. And those who do not acknowledge God in all their ways will be eliminated from the planet Earth, because only that is holy will rise up and remain holy.
Prince L. Ron, your
yes,
diagnosis for our people during these very serious conditions.
Hello, Prince. I didn't quite hear what you said clearly. Would you repeat it, please?
I was saying I want you to respond to what the people need to do as it relates to healing the soul.
The first thing that I think, or I feel that the people need to do, is to seek an understanding about themselves, their relationship to other people, their relationship to the environment, their relationship to the entire creation, the universe, if you will, because everything has a specific purpose. And when those things cooperate together, the things that we say that we want, the things that we feel that we need, the things that God has had created for us, will be in a position to receive them. But with disharmony, with misunderstanding, with ignorance, we'll not be able to realize those things. They could be right in our faces, but it will be like eyes wide shut. We wouldn't recognize them anyway. So we need to seek in all that getting, get an understanding of the reality of our relationship to God, the creation, and our relationship to each other. But when that understanding is brought forth also, that we receive it like we're supposed to receive it. All too often what we do when understanding comes because of petty issues, because we've been given a false understanding of things, petty issues like ego, like jealousy, like greed, get in the way of understanding. So we value those things more than we do understanding. Okay? So when understanding comes, we have to be not only willing to receive it, ready to receive it, but to receive it and then to act upon it. Unless we do things in that manner, we're not going to be successful. A new mind, a new idea, a new approach. All of us should consider those things seriously, to reexamine everything that we're doing now by another understanding, to see if, in fact, all of these curses that have overtaken us, if our way of thinking is in line with that. And if it is, also in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, are those things that bring blessing. And if we tune ourselves to that frequency, that the way these curses have overtaken us, the blessings can overtake us too, but we have to be in a position to receive them.
Now, I want you to, at this point, interject those things. Start at the first verse of the 28th chapter and read those things that bring about blessings.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy cows, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and kneading trough. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou go out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies who rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thine hand to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Now, this program is called Better World. And we, the Hebrew Israelites on the planet, we're not talking about from a nationalistic political point of view. We are talking from a spiritual point of view. You don't have to be an Israelite by name. You are an Israelite by your actions and your deeds and your thoughts. So when we say Hebrew, we're not talking about a people like Chinese. We're talking about a spiritual people that have been programmed by the Creator of heaven and earth to be a light in the world. Because those who have studied history of the scriptures know at a point in time, the prophet Isaiah that says, darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. But then it goes on to say, arise and shine, for thy light has come. And the Yehuda nation is one of those lights shining so that you will know the direction in which to go. Dr. Weber is one of those lights shining. So it says, if thou wilt hear diligently, if you would hear the words of God spoken through his servant and begin to apply them, you will then begin to see the result. I speak not of myself, but I come down from Jerusalem. I've went back, gone back to begin to test the word of God to see if we as a people who believe that returning to the Holy Land would begin the journey back to God and activate the power of the Creator of the heaven and earth in us as a people again. And I'm here to tell you, it works. It works. It works. Dr. Weber has been kind enough to let me impose upon his time, so I want to take about 5 more minutes for his diagnosis and then ask Sister Princess Yaina to see if she have any questions for him before he ends the interview this week with Better World. Dr. Weber, any more diagnosis and prescriptions before we go?
Yes. The Holy Land, the Holy Place is wherever we are, God is. And everywhere we are is to be transformed into a holy oasis by the Spirit of the God living within us, by all the words and actions that we create. We are to transmit the Holy Spirit of God in us and to transform all of the places wherever we are, whether it's in the alley, whether it's in the street, whether it's in the city, whether it's in the field. We are the transformers and the transmitters of the Holy Spirit from God the original through the blood of God. God that is in us, we are here for a divine purpose to transmit and to transform the holy energy that reinvigorates the planet Earth with the Spirit of God that is in us. We are the soul people of soul to bring soul back. And that's why it looks like it's a gyration of humming, of singing, of jumping, of jubilation. In fact, it is. So we are a joyful people, not a sad people. And as our young men get seemingly murdered, it's only one level of this transformation. But the God in us never dies and never cries. The God just moves on and on and on beyond this world. We are a multi-dimensional people. We've been limited to the vision of the reality of a satanic vision. That we're more than body, and you may conquer the body, but you can't take away our soul, you can't take away our spirit, you can't take away our vision, you can't take away the love that and we and our inheritance. If God has redeemed us, we are a redeemed people holistically.
Sister Princess Yaina, I want you to come in, and if you or any of our listening have any questions before the doc step off, and then we will continue the discussion right after that. Sister Yaina.
Yes, sir. Shalom, shalom, everyone. I think it was very, I was very pleased with how the doctor brought about his presentation. You know, this is a very, very touchy subject for us. You know, from a woman's standpoint, being a mother, you know, it's hard to see our children being shot down in the street like animals. And what I would say to the young people that are in Ferguson, you know, healing is coming, you know, because it's really hard to reach a people that's hurting, you know, and you can't even witness to a group of people that's hungry. You have to feed them first, you know, and the word that went forth was definitely food, but they have to understand, you know, that as they stand in front of the army and that they have military tanks and full armor body gear on and they're standing ready to attack, you know, it brings me to 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, when the Syrian army was against Elisha. And his servant was afraid. And Elisha had to console his servant, you know, and the one thing that he said that it, that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And they have to understand that as they stand in front of the army of those of the nation that is despising us and are trying to shoot us down like animals, we have an army too. And we need, you're right, to go into prayer and go before our commander-in-chief because we have one. And entreat him. And we may not be able to get the whole nation. We may not even be able to reach those children that, and those people that are hurting in the streets of Ferguson. You know, but he made a declaration. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will they hear from heaven and then will I heal their land. So my commission to all of those that are listening under the sound of our voice, it's time for us, the elite, to come together to pray and to ask the commander-in-chief to stand on our behalf because he's there, you know, and we have to realize that. So, you know, I think that, you know, well done. It was a very good job. I think it was a very good job. And everyone that spoke, you know, and like I said, from a woman's standpoint, it hurts my heart. You know, I can't imagine what the mother feels or the father, you know, because their child was laying dead in the street. But Israel, we have the answer, and we have the solution. So.
Thank you, my beloved sister, because you hit the nail right on the head. You spoke to power from truth. And the reason that you could so eloquently and so sensitive to the pain of the mother, the pain of the father, is because like any physician, when you're treating a person that's wounded, you know that the treatment that you got to give them is going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But built into that hurt, initial hurt, you're giving them what is called a painkiller. You're giving them something that will numb the feeling while they're treating the injury. Well, what is the Novocaine for a sin-sick soul? That Novocaine is what you said. The elect prayers that doctors don't always get through. The cherubim has access to God 24/7 and mm-hmm. never stops praying and never stops speaking to the issue that has affected God's creation. And so I'm saying to those that your ointment, that your Novocaine was the medicine so that they can now hear what it is that needs to be done. So I thank you, Princess, because it's that feminine spirit that makes up the female and the male man that created the male and female child. We must now understand that the mothers and the fathers that are spiritually elevated must go into prayer immediately on behalf of the children who have gone astray. And we are the vanguard of it, the Yehuda Nation, Better World, and all of those conscious brothers and sisters, as Doc said, throughout the earth, because wherever God's people put their foot, God is there with them. He's never no place that you cannot access him. And I'm saying that to our people. God is not just in a building called this building or that building. God is in that alley. He was in the pit with the prophet Jeremiah. He was in the lion's den with Daniel. He was in the fiery furnace with the Hebrew boys. He was there with Esther when she couldn't go to see the king. And we can go on down to make sure that we are not given the impression that our people cannot access. But just like a doctor, you've got to get to somebody who can access the medicine for the sin sick soul. It ain't just enough to know that you're sick, but where can you go get the medicine? And we say it comes out of the mind of the living God. So, Doc, I want to thank you for taking time and giving us this great interview to begin to heal the sin sick soul. Any parting words before you leave?
To that old self be true, let us know ourselves, let us not forget from which we come. We come from God, let us stay with God, let us return back to God in all our ways, in all our ways, in all our days. Let us acknowledge God first and foremost, in us and through us and for us, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Doc.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Prince L. Rom, pick it up for a minute while we get ready to transfer to another guest as we prepare to continue for this.
Once again, we want to say thank you to the doctor for the healing that he provided for all of us. It was really not only even for us who feel that we have a level of understanding, or if we consider ourselves to be amongst the elect of God, we're still subject to the forces of this world, and we can benefit from wisdom and understanding and from the healing balm that the doctor provided for us. And I say hallelujah, and I thank God for that blessing. Also thank God for Prince Osiel, because of all of his experiences and all of his accomplishments, he's able to add that perspective to help keep us focused on the things that we have to do in order to bring ourselves out of this condition. We have to be active participants in our own liberation. But we have to understand what's necessary to be done, so we're just not acting and then hoping that the consequences are what we want, that we are planning, that we are following the plan, and that no matter what, that we adhere to the plan to see it through, because least that happens, no flesh shall be saved. And we see evidence of that on a daily basis on many fronts, in the environment, the people, everything in the environment, the way business is being done, the way education is being either given or taken away, the way the international relationships or the relationships with other people, I mean, everything gives evidence of a deterioration. So, again, hallelujah to the doctor for that blessing and for that healing balm that he applied today. I certainly appreciate it. Sister Yaina, if there are any comments or questions from anybody online, we'll entertain those at this point. If not, we'll continue on.
No, not yet. If anyone would like to make a comment or have a question, please feel free to push 1.
Okay. No. All right. In the meantime, as for those who may have been tuned in for the last 4 or 5 weeks, the health series that Prince Osiel initiated, continuing with that, with what the doctor presented today, but if you are connecting the dots, you can see how every aspect that has been touched on in terms of us as human beings, we're multidimensional. All of those dimensions have to be addressed. All of those dimensions have to be brought together in order for us to implement the fullness thereof. So, you know, take notes, keep up, connect the dots, and if not, ask questions, because every aspect of what's being talked about is critical in order for us to be the whole people that God needs us to be to bring about some healing into the entire creation or the entire world. So,
well, Prince Elram, we're very fortunate.
Yes, sir.
I've got our other guest who comes out of East St. Louis, Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri, Illinois, and he's very familiar. His sister right now lives in that area. He's a pastor of more than 46 years, one of those founders of Operation Push in Chicago, and one of those great religious spiritual leaders who've gone to Israel, gone to...
They're on their way, 10 minutes away now.
Okay, tell them you're going to meet them down there. Okay. And then be bringing shit here. So, what I wanted to do was to begin to say to the listening audience that we intend on Better World to bring those spiritual men and women who have specialties in healing the pain of our people. I want Dr. Hardy to introduce himself and give a little background in terms of his spiritual ministry. Reverend Henry Hardy, pastor of Cosmopolitan Church on the south side of Chicago for more than 45 years.
Yeah. Thank you, Prince. I'm happy to share whatever expertise or experience I've gleaned over this period of my ministry. And I think we have been involved in speaking to the needs of people. I was on a radio show last evening, and I was saying that even as a preacher, preaching is going to be great, but ultimately, we have got to stop doing so much describing and reacting to the pain of our people, rather than be proactive in prescribing a prescription to diminish and to dismiss the kind of agony that so frustrates and exacerbates our people. So when we see what is happening in Ferguson, what we are seeing is simply a reaction to, what we are seeing is simply an indication of the misery and the malice and the malevolence that people feel have been exacted upon them. And so that is simply a symptomatic indication of the horrendous kind of experiences they're dealing with. And so when you lacerate the human spirit, when you deface the dignity of persons, and then you try to judge that by your own standards or dominant culture, as we may call it, by standards, and say that your vociferous, vehement behavior suggests a level of antisocial aspect, and so you begin to focus on something which is important, but it isn't really the crucial component. And I see this happening all the time when we have challenges, such as in Ferguson. They begin to focus on the reaction to the dissatisfaction when they should be dealing with the dissatisfaction that leads to, if there is no dissatisfaction, you would not have a reaction. And that is where we are. And so now when they come on the media in our media, 24-hour saturated culture of seeing what is dramatic, what is sensational, because we must feed this insatiable lust of 24/7 media coverage. And you miss, it seems to me, the substance of what people are saying because you allow yourself to get caught up in the so-called histrionics and the drama of persons who always utilize these occasions to further their own somewhat less than honorable objectives. And so that's my concern. And I see that happening in Ferguson. But the real deal for me is how can we address the pain of people and understand. It is my conviction that what I see is a kind of an already a felt conclusion on the part of so many, what you want to call them, I'm not going to call them, our leaders, I mean, I'm talking about persons who don't represent our community, who have made the decision that we don't count. But it is not just in Ferguson. It is all over. Because there are Fergusons waiting to explode all over this nation. Because a Ferguson is not just a reality when it happens, but it is always a potentiality waiting to explode. And unless we can somehow cut off or short circuit that, then we're going to be drenched in a kind of dissolution of spirit and angst and violence that's not going to serve anybody any good. And you cannot tell people when they are feeling the pain and the deprivation and desperation of years of neglect that they should not do something. All that does is exacerbate the hostility. Because they're saying, if you understand so well what it is that I need not be experiencing, why have you not come to my rescue to obviate or eliminate the possibility I will ever have to do it? And so this is what this thing is. There is a lack of seriousness and a lack of integrity about all of these things. Because we roll in like a seasonal occasion. It happens every year. When I was a kid, my aunt and my grandmother, they have plants called perennials. And the perennials just jump up when the season comes. And once the season is over, perennials go away. And then winter comes about discontentment. And then when the spring comes once again, we get more perennials. But we need to stop that. We need to have an honest engagement of the worth of the value of people's lives. And so when we see what has happened with the overarching, exorbitant militarization of our police culture through the Pentagon and through Homeland Security, who is giving money. Homeland Security gives money. They give billions of dollars to these various areas to utilize as they see fit. And that, of course, is an error. Because that is nothing but a form, ultimately, of states' rights. When you put divisive money on these municipalities and so forth, then you presume that they have the best interests of people in heart. But obviously, that is not the case. So I'm saying, as a minister, I'm saying that we need, ultimately, to realize that we cannot allow ourselves to be faked out of position. Obviously, people are saying, you know, we are destroying our communities and all of that. But there is no community, ultimately, if you don't have investment and ownership in it. There are people who are tenants and residents and so forth. But we have got to create a dynamic and a paradigm where people invest in something that they own. When you own your own stuff, I mean, you're going to look at it differently. And even though you may have this kind of paroxysm and this outburst of anger and hostility, but trust me, if you are paying the mortgage, if you got something that you've invested in, there's a whole different interface with your problem than just allowing yourself to explode in rage and in hostility over something. Let me give you an example, then I'm going to shut up. I'm listening today. As I was traveling on the highway coming back from a ministerial function. And they were talking about the guy, Steve Ballmer, you know, who was a former Microsoft executive who purchased the Los Angeles Clippers. And they were having all of this great demonstration. And they were talking about this. And they wouldn't even mention the former owner's name, which is Donald Sterling, having a problem with it. I was never upset about Donald Sterling. I was never upset because I recognize there are multiple Donald Sterlings. And all this was a kind of germanded or constructed approach to get the NBA off the hook to save money. This was nothing but a money move. Had nothing to do with the moral imperatives of black people being called what he called them. Well, you know, Dick Gregory said, and I said the other day, Dick Gregory said, if you call me nigger in some sense and that's what you want to do, then you advertise in my book because we recognize it is so easy for you to call me that. So you're calling me that, and when I want to be bigger, then you called me a nigger. And that is what is happening. People want to be bigger. They're tired of being squelched and somehow compressed into these cubicles and these cells that frustrate their aspirations. And so we have got to come to grips with how we, leaders, preachers, I'm preaching on Sunday, but then doing it give me to preach on Sunday, and people are in frustration on Monday. We've got to come up with some kind of objective and some kind of approach. So that's really where I am with this whole dynamic. And so Ferguson is not, I'm not surprised about Ferguson. Nothing about Ferguson surprises me because it is clear that there is no regard ultimately for the lives and the aspirations of so many people of color. I'm not surprised.
What I want to do, I want to go to our callers, Dr. Hardy, who have called in and who want to express themselves and ask questions. So, Sister Yaina, would you please begin to share with us the first caller and what they want to ask any of the guests that have been on? Even though some have left, we're still here to answer those questions.
All right, area code 678, go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia.
Brother Adonia, peace and blessings.
Shalom.
I hear you, Prince. It's Brother Adonia. How are you doing? How you doing, Brother Adonia?
Yeah, can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you. This is Dr. Gilron.
Yeah, first and foremost, I want to greet you and Nasi Asiel and Prince Elron and your guests, you understand, in peace and love from the Almighty great palace in the sky.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Likewise.
And I love you guys, man, you know, and everything that you've said I agree with, you understand, but I'm just going to make this short. All I wanted to try to do is that Yaina made a very great point that the elect need to call on the Almighty. Not the elite, the elect, the ones that the Almighty has chosen, you understand, to stand up, you understand. That means the ones that have the spirit in the heart to stand up, to see our condition, and know that we can't do anything without the Creator. Our hands are completely tied. We need to call on the Almighty and let Him do the fighting for us. You understand? We need to do that. You understand? He will fight for us. You understand? He will bring up. He will do everything His possible that is possible to bring about the nation to restore our nations to our rightful place.
That's great.
We're going to have to go through. We're going to go through more things. But if we all pick a day that we could sit, you know, 15 minutes out your daily schedule on that particular day, we send up an oblation to the Almighty. You understand? And ask Him to forgive us for our sins, for we have sinned. We transgress the law, and we know it. And we need to ask the Almighty how He can help to get us out of this mess.
Would you please be the first one to share with us what day you would recommend? If you don't have it now, you can call back in later and tell us so that we can begin that right away. And if you would lead us in an affirmation today on what we
should say as part of our prayer?
Well, first of all, I want you all to understand that I'm not a person that's very outspoken in prayers. You understand? I know that I pray and I ask the Almighty, you understand, in my own quiet way between me and him. But for me to speak out, I get to stumbling and stuttering, and y'all be here for 2 weeks, man, trying to figure it out. You understand? So my thing is I can only speak, you know, just briefly on the subject. And as far as the day is concerned, you understand, we have to do it on a day where everybody will feel comfortable in doing it. Now, sometimes, you understand, people will be at their job in their little cubicle. If they could take 15 minutes out their time, man, just to throw up your hands and ask the Almighty to be with us in our endeavors, man. We want to come back home. We sorry for all the things that we did. We sinned. You understand? We need to do that. You understand? Because, you understand, I'm honestly believe that you will see a difference shortly after. Hallelujah.
Yaina, any other callers that have questions that they want to get through?
No, sir, not yet. Anyone that has a question, comment, or concern, please feel free to push 1, and we'll get your mics right open.
What I want to do at this point is I've got a young man that was born in Israel as part of the program this evening. I wanted to get the youth view of what is taking place in America, being born outside of America and in the Holy Land. Ariel.
Good evening and good afternoon to everyone.
Likewise. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is R.L., son of Prince Asiel, born and raised in the land, been in the U.S. for the last 7 years, been to and fro throughout the world, been in Africa, traveling with my father, Ghana, South Africa, Zimbabwe, two countries in Europe, but I'm really elated and blessed to be here today with the congregation and with all the listeners, just to let them know, and hopefully we have some young people online, to let them know that this is our time not only to react, but to listen so we can know how to respond. And with elders such as my dad and sisters like Sister Yaina that had a choice, will then those that are like-minded and like her to start the process of us killing ourselves. So I want to thank Sister Yaina for that. My thoughts about everything that's going on, because I come from being free. I was raised actually again in Israel, so I didn't have to interact with racism. I didn't have to interact with those that really didn't want to be bothered with me. So I really just start to get a peek of it now. And what it did to me was it really sent me back to my father, which we was talking on the road today. And I told him, I said that it's such a shame that we've been fighting, having these same conversations for the last 50 to 60 years, but he took it even further. He said it goes back 100 years to when we were just freed as slaves, and a person went from where we stand that everything is happening at up there in Missouri, and he went to court, and the judge told him, you don't have any say so, or a black person don't have any right over Dred Scott, I'm sorry, over black men have no rights to white people and what white people say. That only assured me that it's really our time, not again just to react, but it's our time to focus in, fortify ourselves with the ammunition, And the ammunition, to me, I'm not saying ammunition is guns and violence, but the ammunition is understanding in your mind so that you can perform and respond in a way that you get the positive reaction from what you're really trying to get out to the people. So that's really my understanding. So what I'm doing now, I'm staying close to people like Dr. Hardy, my father, Prince Raphael, and I'm talking to those that come in our establishment here at Federal. That come in our establishment here at Better World, just to let them know that they do have a source in which they could express themselves and they could be themselves in a vehicle in which we could start this whole process of the what we call in the healing process of a nation and the healing process of a people. So that's my duty, and I'm committed to that, and thank you all.
Sister Yaina, back to you. Any questions or comments?
Yes, sir. One moment, please. Area code 443, go ahead. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. Wonderful class. This is your host, Will Caller, from Baltimore, Maryland. I was commenting on the request that about the praying together, and I have a suggestion. Most of us, probably all of us, have some sort of a cell phone or smartphone that has an alarm clock associated with it or a reminder. And I'm likened to King David, from Psalm 55 and 17, when he says emphatically, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And I'm thinking that if we're as leading the way for the nations to return to the Elohim of creation and to lead the way showing the people of to repentance, et cetera, especially as it pertains to our restoration and healing, maybe those that are already awakened can even start with this. If we set our clocks, our phones, something that all of us have and we have with our person all the time, at a specific time in the morning, specific time at noon and in the evening, and we cry aloud, we agree upon something we're going to pray for, and it's something that's said, whether you're at work, you could steal away, you could say it within your heart. But we have that as a reminder, and we're going forth as a unified front right there. I think that can make a huge impact. And we can make a difference, not only in what's going on around us, but especially affirming the faith that we have that things are going to change and that we're going to be up out of this place together in unity.
I accept that, and I will promote that, and I will begin to talk about it everywhere I go, Brother David, and implement that. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Tora.
Prince L. Ram, are you still on or not? If it's on mute, I think you better take it off. Well, let me go on with the program. What I'm trying to do today was to get a sensitivity program going for those of us who believe that Creator will help us, as the brother said, if we cry out. And as Sister Yaina said, my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and turn away from those things that the Creator said are wicked. Then will I hear and pray. Then will I hear from heaven and begin to hear the land and the people. Sister Yaina, as
yes,
we journey on and you gave the feeling of a mother and a grandmother and a woman, can you share with us the kind of comfort that a mother would want to hear during these critical times of losing her child, her son, in such a brutal way?
I can't imagine the pain that she's experiencing. I've had the opportunity to lose a child, and I know the hurt that comes behind that. But it wasn't from a violent act. It was from something else, an illness that he had. The only thing that at this point that would really soothe her was to know that there is something that can be done, that will be done. And the problem that we have in terms of black people is that we feel like there's no hope. But we have to reassure them that there is a God that sits high and he looks low. And if he sent an army, and I have to go back to 2 Kings chapter 6, for two people, he sent a whole army for two people. What more will he do for his people in Israel? Those that don't know who they are, those who are blinded to the fact of the conditions that they're in. It is important for us to tell her that she does have an advocate. It's important for us to tell her that there is a change coming, and it's important for us to tell her that the Most High is going to cradle her in his arms and help her to get through this. Our whole position now is to give him, to give them an opportunity to understand the people, I mean, because the powers that be are going to be the powers that be. Not, they're not going to change. But our job is to let them know that he does care for us. And it reminds me when Yehoshua was speaking about the prayer three times a day. It reminds me of 1 Kings chapter 8, when King Solomon gave the dedication to the temple. And he made reference that when we find ourselves in the land that's not ours, that he sent us to, that if we remember and turn toward the city which he built, that he would, and we cry out to him, that he would plead our cause. So, I mean, you know, we have a lot of recourses that we can go through to give them answers, but the only answer is in Yah, because that's where she's going to be able to find peace, is in his arms. So, you know, those are the things that if I had the opportunity to go to Ferguson and actually speak to her, I would let her know that. You know, his dying wasn't in vain. You know, it wasn't in vain because it has now sparked a reaction that we can now get the voice or get the ear of the people to understand that we have to go before him because he is our commander-in-chief. President Obama's not going to do it. Al Sharpton's not going to be able to do it. Jesse Jackson can't do it. The pastors cannot do it. It has to be Israel, conscious Israel, to turn and go before our Elohim and plead our case.
Thank you. As a pastor, what do you say to a mother during these grieving times, Pastor Hart?
Well, that's why it's so important to have a faith-based life. We spend our time in this present culture lionizing and idolizing material things. I don't want to diminish the need of basic material resources, a good life, a nice car, family, children go to school. That's understandable. Anybody would be a fool to diminish the significance of wanting your children to do better. But there is something that is rampant in our culture that is pandemic and is ignorant in terms of how we now just embrace material and we violate spiritual. So when things happen, and we don't have the inner resources, the spiritual infrastructure to be able to withstand those vicissitudes. Robin Williams, yeah, I had great admiration for him. He was, for me, a genius. But I don't know. But what I heard is that Robin Williams certainly had say he has Parkinson's or perhaps the onset of Parkinson's. I don't know what his faith construct is. I do know that when things come upon us, just that in this mother for Michael,
Michael Brown,
just for Michael, that you're going to need a resource. You need a rock. The Bible talks about remove not the ancient landmark. You've got to have something that you can find your faith in. Your that when the people pass this way and they look at this stone, they're going to say, what meaneth this stone? Then you tell them this stone is talking about the integrity and the purpose of people. And so I say to that mother, it is important, whatever you may have, as you just said a minute ago, that we've got to have something deep and residual within us, spiritual. And when you got this, there was an old preacher who said something, when you have that inside of you, he said it's something that farmers can't grow, that wind can't blow, that fire can't burn, and water can't drown. In other words, it's a faith construct. And with that faith, you're able to overcome the world. Yeshua said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And faith always, in the midst of struggle, stress, and duress, will let you face the test, because faith is the victory. And we got to tell us that.
And the other thing that I want to say is what Sister Yaina said and Dr. Hardy touched on was the ancient landmark, and she mentioned Israel. When we went back to Israel as a people in 1968-69, when Dr. King stood up and said that God had allowed him to go to the mountaintop and look over and see the promised land, he said, I may not get there with you, but we as well will get to the promised land. Well, the next month, May 68, we landed in the promised land and began to resurrect that ancient landmark that Joshua talked about, that rock, and that Yeshua talked about standing on that rock. I'm that rock. We're talking now about going back to the old path of a personal relationship between God and his people. And so all of us who are faith-based and conscious of that is reaching back now deep inside of us, in our very DNA, to acknowledge that we didn't fix ourselves. We didn't come into the world cars and houses and entertainment as such. That's the byproduct of a happy people or a secure people. That the Creator promised that you would inherit all of these good things. But what we're now saying, that is obvious, that's why I had the curses read, so that we could see that if you don't do the things that bring about blessings, the other side of that, you bring about curses. So God is telling you, and then he says, choose life and live. So the arrogance of a world that is separates God from warfare, we separate God from education, then you're going to find that all of the things that you're building is without a foundation in God. So because there's no way to ask the question, how would God educate? How would God feed? How would God lead? So that we now, the faith-based community, is putting God back into the equation. And as the brother said earlier, we're putting prayer back into the equation so that we can begin to shout out, cry loud, and spare not. Minister, Prince El Ram, are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Then I wanted, as we begin to close out this portion, for you to begin to just go to the 40
28 and 49. I'm there.
Okay, start reading.
The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far.
Now listen to this. I'm talking about a particular people. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar. Read on.
From the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
We know that the symbol of America is the eagle. And this was the end of the earth as it related to where we come from in Africa. Now, read a little bit more.
A nation of fierce continent who shall not regard the person of the old nor show favor to the young.
18 years old. A woman on the highway in L.A. being beaten by a policeman. The elder brother in New York being choked to death because he was trying to make a living for his family, selling things that kill. Anyway, we're listening to these curses. Read on.
And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed. Who also shall not leave thee either grain, wine, oil, or the increase of thy cow, or flocks of thy sheep, until he hath destroyed you.
We are facing destruction. And if there's not a faith-based group of people out there crying out to the Creator for mercy, for justice, then where can it come from if this is part of your chastisement for turning away from God? See, we don't want to think of it in those terms anymore. And the reason that I'm raising this issue is because I left America in America to become conscious of the history, the past, and what got us off the path. Now, go to the 63rd verse.
And it shall come to pass that as the Lord has rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked from off the land to which thou goest to possess.
Now, I'm saying, if the prophet wrote these kinds of things, even about the Lord was happy, I want you to understand this rejoice is not happiness. When a parent chastises his child, the mother or the father or the guardian is not happy to be doing that. But we've learned to understand that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. So if our people who have gone contrary to God's laws of love one another and are you your brother's keeper, we're talking about nations now under judgment. Because remember, that nation that judges God's people itself has to be judged. And that's what we're talking about crying out now. Because we don't have weapons of mass destruction. Only the Creator who created the heavens and the earth has that power in his hand. What we do have in our hand is the ability to turn away from our evil ways and begin to go back to God. And that's what I'm crying out. So read on.
And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even made from wood and stone.
We need to ask ourselves, what God are we worshiping? Are we worshiping the true and living God? Not because we say it, but by a behavior and a result. You get from
from that worship. I know in Hebrew that worship means work, obeyed. If you're not working for peace and justice and truth and mercy and love and equity, then you're not worshiping the true and living God. Read on.
And among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and a sorrow of mind.
Remember now, the young man that was with Michael said he ran and hid because he was afraid. Because that incident, maybe the minute before he was, that reality gave him a trembling heart. And I'm saying again, as we look at the curses, read on.
And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have no assurance of thy life.
Keep on reading.
In the morning thou shalt say, with God it were evening, and in the evening thou shalt say, with God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord
now,
shall bring thee.
Go ahead.
And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spoke unto thee.
I want the listeners to remember, we can go back into captivity again if we don't follow the instructions of Almighty God. He said he'll bring you back into captivity again. Now listen to how he finishes it up. Read
thou on. Shall see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies for male and female slaves, and no man shall save you.
We will be sold as male and female slaves, and no man can buy you out of that slavery. I just had two more of my brothers and guests walk in. I got a brother that Ghana, whose home is the base in a part of the country that houses what we call the slave castles or the slave dungeons. In that part of Ghana, our people were brought into the Western world. I also have coming to me a brother who is part of Elijah Muhammad's vision to redeem the people that was lost and found in America from CRO, Coalition for the Remembrance of Elijah. We have band together across the world, men and women of faith, to begin to talk about how do we turn the African world back to the Creator. And I wanted to introduce them and let them say a word briefly. We're talking about the subject of the condition of our people, Reuben. Reuben Atepe is from Ghana, West Africa. And he grew up under being free under Kwame Nkrumah, and Ghana was the first nation to get its independence in 1957. Then it went on to become a student of economic development. He then never lost his mooring for being an African, who he remembers the enslavement under the apartheid system in Ghana. His father, the same thing. I had the blessing and the honor to go to their village, and they took me to a spiritual service, and the elders began to talk about Israel at that service and talk about the power of the God of Israel. Reuben, we're talking on Blog Radio. This is a program I call The Better World. We're talking around the world We got listeners, and I wanted them to know briefly because the program is going to be over in a few minutes, but I wanted them to hear from you what the Ghanaian people, through you and your father and others, have done that have made me know that our people in Ghana serve the true and living God. So, Reuben, would you share with them the spiritual base in which you were brought up and how your name, Reuben, and how your father's name, Seth, became a part of the culture, and let them know what tribe you were from in Ghana.
So, greetings and blessings from Ghana to all the listeners.
Thank you.
I still, Prince Asiel, put you on the spot. Yeah. I've just landed in Chicago and I'm here, but it's good to be here with similar-minded people, and the one thing I know is that we all have the one spirit wherever we are, and when we work in unity, that makes us stronger than anything. That's all I can say for now whilst I listen to
the program. Come in here. I have Brother Munir Muhammad that I want to introduce to you too, and I'm going to have him back for a full program on Better World. And I want Brother Munir Muhammad to introduce himself as to what he does nationwide and worldwide. We've had the great pleasure of traveling to Israel together. We've had the great pleasure of going to Africa together. And so he's not only a brother, a friend, but a visionary that continues to hold the light up on behalf of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his God, and our people as we continue. Brother Munir, this is the Better World program.
Thank you, Prince, and I say assalamu alaikum and shalom to my brothers and sisters, and I'm very honored to be here with Prince Asiel. I consider myself as the archivist for not only the Nation of Islam, but the total black experience. So we, of course, represent the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as best as we can. And you can go to crowtv.org, Ustream, and see some of the shows that we have online. But Prince has been a frequent guest, but a brother and a friend, and I thank him so much for this opportunity. Thank you.
Close out, brethren, on the radio. I want to say a great thank you to the Yehuda Nation and to Yaina particularly for the opportunity to be part of the rejuvenation, reactivation of our people across the world and the family members coming from all walks of life that we continue to go arm in arm to total liberation of our people. As we close out on, and they shall go into slavery again and no man shall buy them, that says to me that we can bring ourselves out of these wretched conditions by turning back to the true and the living reality of what God wants us to do as a people. So if there are no more questions, Sister Yaina, I will close until next week, and then we will reactivate with new insight into some issues and problems that we've touched on. And I thank everybody for joining us every week as we dialogue on how to build a better world. And we can close out with our song that you play so well, my sister.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here. don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right now.
Simply cause our hair was long. Oh, you know we've got to find. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Pick it flat and pick it flat. Don't punish me for brutality. Come on, talk to me. Can't see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right, right on. Right on.
Prince Asiel, hello, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, my sister, and thank you so very much to all of the listening audience. Let me say shalom and peace and blessings to all of you. Again, my beloved sister, thank you so much. And until next week, my listening audience, we will return. Thank you.